H&H Home and Hardware. The name says it all. And in 2025, H&H is celebrating its 25th year in business. H&H Home and Hardware on Sturgeon Road in Marion has everything you need for plumbing, electrical, lumber, paint, building supplies, hardware, plus pool supplies, steel power equipment and repairs, and so much more. H&H is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m., 6 p.m.
Good Monday morning. We have a pretty good show for you today. I have Judge Executive Perry Newcomb will be on. It's quite an extensive interview, so I'm going to, like I typically do, I'm going to play that at the end of the program. But we're going to kind of zip through some things I want you to have on your radar and to know about this week and heading into the weekend. And then we're going to get right into the interview with Judge Newcomb. First, we're going to hear from H&R Block.
So this morning, I have with me again Jennifer Reckinger. She's with H&R Block in Marion and Rosa Claire, Illinois, across the Ohio River there. So Jennifer, you know, it's tax season, and people are excited about their tax refund, if they're going to get one, I guess. You know, some people don't always get a tax refund. They may owe a bit. But those who do are anticipating a refund, tell us how they can get that early.
Yeah, so you do have to have all of your tax documents whenever you come in. So you have to actually be ready to file your tax return. We have what is called a refund advance loan. You can get up to $4,000. It is a 0% interest rate loan. Mm-hmm. So as long as you have all of your tax documents, you're ready to file, we can try to get you up to $4,000 mm-hmm. the same day. And it is based upon bank approval, though.
Well, that's a great opportunity. Somebody needs cash right now, they can do that. So H&R Block in Marion, Kentucky, and Rose and Claire, Illinois. Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, a big shout out this morning to Talon Sanchez of Livingston Central High School. He was nominated to the United States Military Academy at West Point by Representative James Comer. Also, over in Princeton, Kylie White of Caldwell County High School received multiple nominations to military academies by the congressman, and those are to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, the United States Air Force Academy, and the United States Naval Academy. That's quite impressive. Tough decision on her hands. And then another boy from over in Lyon County received a nomination to the U.S. Air Force Academy, and that is Daniel Gunner Steiner. So, again, congratulations to those folks. Hey, if you want to keep up to date on what's going on in the community, don't forget about the Crittenden County Chamber of Commerce calendar. You can find it on the Chamber's website, also on the Crittenden Press website. It just has an entire calendar for the upcoming weeks and months that you can stay abreast of what's going on in your community. And believe it or not, there are a whole lot of things going on around here. And one of the biggest things on the radar, of course, is that June America 250 celebration that is being planned. The local program is called Legacy of Liberty, and there's a huge committee putting that on, and it will meet again at 5 p.m. March 2nd at the Crittenden County Public Library. This includes the communities of Fredonia. There's some people on the committee from Princeton, from down in Livingston County, and Salem, and Smithland. This is going to be a huge, huge event. Get on board with it if you have something to bring to the table, and just show up at that 5 p.m. meeting March 2nd at Crittenden County Public Library. In local sports, the Lady Rockets won over at Madisonville on Tuesday night. First time Crittenden County girls have ever won in Madisonville. That was a pretty substantial victory, and now they are home to play their last regular season game of the season, and that will be Friday night at Rocket Arena against McLean County, a team that has 18 wins this season, so be a tough go for them. And then the district tournaments begin first of the week. The Lady Rockets will play Livingston Central, and the Rockets will play Lyon County, and those will be on Monday and Tuesday, respectively, at Rocket Arena. Now let's hear from another one of our partners, and then we'll be right back with County Judge Executive Perry Newcomb.
Since the mid-1960s, Miles LP Gas has been meeting the area's propane needs. For pricing, call 866-427-5469 or visit mileslpgas.com.
So I have this morning County Judge Executive Perry Newcomb. The judge and other leaders from the community went to Frankfort late last week, and it's kind of an annual pilgrimage. They go up and basically with your hat in your hand and begging for more money for everything, right, Judge?
Pretty much so, yes, sir.
Yeah, so a pretty nice contingent of Crittenden County folks, plus Michael Williams, a judge executive from down in Livingston County, went, but representatives from the city, of course, the mayor was there, and the water district folks, school board folks, county attorney, just a nice group to go up and do your lobbying. So just what type of topics did you discuss with the folks in Frankfort?
Yeah, and like you said, Chris, this has become kind of an annual trip for us, an opportunity for us to showcase Marion and Crittenden County and also Livingston County. Of course, as you said, Judge Williams went along with us from Livingston County. And we set the day up. It's a full-day event. We started out this year, tried to meet with the governor. He was not available. So we were able to meet with his chief of staff, Rocky Adkins, mainly just wanted to express to them our gratitude and thanks for past support with respect to securing funding to help on the Water District's expansion project, and just give them an update on where that stands. Let you know, we almost complete with phase one. The only remaining piece of phase one is the interconnection between North Marshall and Grand Rivers across the Kentucky Dam. And really the holdup at this point for that is with respect to TVA's authorization to put that new line across the dam in some form or fashion. Talk to him about road projects, about funding, with respect to roads. February, the month of February, always we see our second disbursement of our county road aid money. And I believe the city gets their disbursement as well for the city streets. But with respect to our funding on the county side, it's supposed to be we get 30% of our annual allotted amount of road funds from Transportation Cabinet, supposedly. We were expecting a $369,000 check, and we got a $165,000 check. Mm-hmm. You can imagine what that does to a budget and how things have to start to be reorganized and rethought with respect to the amount of work that we're going to do over the next several months, because really and truly that money has to hold us over until August, until we get our first fiscal year of 27 funding. So,
and would that money be for projects around the county as far as road improvements, mowing, salaries? What's it for? All the above?
Yeah, all the above. It basically supports any road function, salaries, fuel, equipment cost, repairs, road repairs, road work, culverts, anything to do with road department operations, really.
With the road department itself, how much funding for the road department comes from the general fund and how much from the state, percentage-wise?
Percentage-wise?
Just ballpark figure.
Probably, trying to think. I think this year's original road aid agreement for us was $1.2 million, and usually we leave about $200,000+ general fund dollars to stay with the road operations. Mm-hmm. So, what is that?
80%.
Yeah.
Over 80% comes from
the state. Right.
And when they trim you back, give you a haircut of a half of what you're expecting.
It's a major ordeal. And of course, last Thursday was also CAECO's County Legislative Appreciation Event. It was mm-hmm. also the Area Development District's mm-hmm. Legislative Appreciation Events. So there were a lot of county officials in there. Frankfort up there last Thursday, and I would say 99.8% of the conversations was based on cuts to the road funding mm-hmm. because I heard from colleagues that are worried about if they're even going to be able to make payroll for their road department through June, let alone pay for any road repairs or work. Mm-hmm. So everybody right now is in scramble mode. Legislators seem to feel like that the governor has the funding available. I suggested that this reminds me of the senior meals programs mm-hmm. that we went through back mm-hmm. in late fall, early winter, mm-hmm. Where the senior meals were going to be cut out because of a funding shortage. That funding shortage was actually created based on the fact that the budget, when they made the budget for fiscal year 25 and 6, they did not accept what the area development districts told them mm-hmm. they would need to provide senior meals. Mm-hmm. They made a determination that might have been inflated, and so they cut it. And lo and behold, we get to end of fall, first part of winter, and all of a sudden they realize, well, maybe the area development districts knew what they were talking about mm-hmm. to begin with, because we've still got several months to go to get through to the end of this fiscal year, and we're out of funding.
And they had to come up with money.
And so then, and then the governor's office came through with some funding that was made available to shore up the program and recontinue senior meals. Mm-hmm. And so I suggested that I'm hopeful that this cut to the road money is very similar to what that senior meals program was. I'm hoping
that there's a cookie jar somewhere that's going to...
Yeah, this is a
white knight
manufactured shortage.
Come and your aid.
Now, and I say manufactured shortage, I believe there probably truly is some shortfall because if you remember at the beginning of this year, legislators cut our gas tax 1 cent. Mm-hmm. I don't know about anytime you go buy gas, but I didn't notice any change at the gas pump. Mm-hmm. But that 1 cent cut basically cut out $22 million in revenue for the state. And so that's where the problem is. But according to legislators, the governor's allotted funds that they allow him to have covers that shortfall. Now, you know how that goes as well. So I basically told them that I felt like they're playing politics, and mm-hmm. and the people that are getting hurt are the people at our level mm-hmm. and the people that they represent, and that they needed to resolve this as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that comes out. Following our discussions with Rocky, we met with Economic Development Cabinet and talked about our locally talked about the loan that's still outstanding. A portion of it still outstanding on the North Industrial Park, and I think we've made huge strides in getting that loan paid back mm-hmm. and paid down. Mm-hmm. That loan actually comes due, I believe it's sometime in March, and so we discussed with them what little remaining balance is left, if we could possibly get an extension. So So they agreed with that and said there was a way to work around that. And then, of course, obviously talked about the ferry and the importance of that operation. And we had some letters of support from area businesses that outlined the impact of that ferry operation to local businesses and also employment pool. You know, there's a lot of people from Southern Illinois that work over here or live here and work in Southern Illinois. So,
that's another one, Perry. It just seems like the funding shows up at the 11th hour. Yeah. You know, it's almost like you have to go up there again with your hat in your hand, like we talked about, and beg a little bit, and then it shows up.
Sure. Yeah, and I've mentioned this several times before. That is the strangest operation that we have. I mean, as by virtue of being county judge executive in Crittenden County, the agreement says that whoever is the judge executive in Crittenden County is responsible for negotiating the agreement between the ferry operator and the state. And it's hard to negotiate when you don't have the purse strings or hold the money checkbook to operate it, and also you don't own a ferry to provide the service. So, it's more of a mediator type deal, but it technically says you negotiate the contract. So, but as you said, that always it'll come down to the last day, and there's. It seems like every 2 years, Secretary Gray and I are on the phone with one another on the last day, about every hour to 2 hours, all the way up to, I know 1 year it was like 11:57 whenever we finally said we've got it lined out.
And literally the 11th hour, was it?
Yes, sir.
So, okay. Any other big topics while you were up there?
Just a lot of legislative things. The jail, the jail legislation, House Bill 557, that's another hot topic for any county that's operating a jail or counties that are a part of a regional jail. It's been, and I shared this with legislators, been at this a while, and it's been probably 10, 11 years since they adjusted that per diem rate, and prior to that it had been about 10 or 11 years since the other the previous adjustment. So just the majority of us, I feel like again 99.8% of us at least are telling them it's changed for an adjustment, or it's time for an adjustment again, because you just can't keep up with the increase in expenses.
And part of that bill also will reimburse the county if that bill is passed, and it does look at like it is gaining some favor. When it first showed up, it didn't have many sponsors to it, many tag along sponsors. But now I think there are a number of legislators joining in on it. But it also has a provision for reimbursement to the counties for, and a lot of people don't know how this works, but when you're picked up and charged, if you're charged with a felony and you sit in jail for say 3 months before you are sentenced, the county pays for that, and then the state picks it up beyond that. But we have a poster child basically out here right now. We have a guy that's been on murderer's row, so to speak, a suspect in a shooting of his father. It's the Timothy Paris murder case, and he's been in jail for 4 years, and the county has been paying the dime on that the whole time.
Exactly.
And it's set for trial in March, and I don't know. I assume it's going to go.
Yeah, and obviously we hope so. Mm-hmm. But definitely, to your point, that's a huge part of this bill, is that in those cases, once convicted, if they are convicted, then the state will reimburse a county from the day that
they were arrested.
entered the jail until the day that they are sentenced. So that will be a big help.
I asked the jailer to do some arithmetic on that, and I can't remember the exact number, but it was somewhere around $40,000, I think, if they reimbursed us for this guy that's in jail here now that's been locked up since 2022 on a murder charge. I see you're digging at your phone. I assume you've got the number.
Yeah, so, and again, I don't know whether he's at 4 years yet, but probably by the time he's works his way through this trial, it will definitely be 4 years. And yeah, you're looking at $51,786. So
that you don't get now, but if this bill passes, you would get. And that would be a pretty nice little reimbursement.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, you know, as well as I do, and everybody that may be listening knows, these bills are, you know, they get negotiated and they go back and forth, and there's some that have suggested that one of the negotiating points for this bill is that they set a limit on the amount they go back. So like in this case with Mr. Paris, he's in there 4 years. If the limit's 24 months, and you know, I don't know that they're going to open up the checkbook for
But you know, that's probably still not bad. It puts some liability on the local courts to move cases along as they should.
And I think that's the thinking behind that concept. But that's one. Interestingly enough, a new bill that was filed really has to do with some of the local media with respect to advertising requirements. And I think it's Senate Bill 84 where they're looking at trying to, compensate for the online subscriptions for maybe media sources what aren't in the county but may show a high number of subscription rates.
Right. They're retooling the certification for being the legal media entity. Right now it's there are a lot of stipulations on it. Now you have to have a building in the county, you have to have the largest bona fides mailed circulation, and a lot of things are changing, but you know, the continued erosion of those laws and regulations on the public notices are taking the newspapers are taking a big hit.
Sure.
And it's kind of it's a bit veiled, but in the end, they want to do away with them and post them on their own websites.
That was my understanding too. So that'll be an interesting to watch and bill to watch and see what happens.
I actually had a column to go in the newspaper about that this week, and I pulled it at the last minute to put something else in. But it will be in a future in a future edition. It's written. Okay. I just got to pull the trigger on it.
So. I didn't want to get ahead of your. News stories, I just found that interesting.
Another quick one that I found pretty interesting is the state is trying to circumvent some of these cities who are outlawing backyard chickens.
Yes.
The city of Marion just, you know, recently prohibited chickens in one of their ordinances, and now the state's trying to undo some of that so that people can have lay some eggs in the backyard. Times are tough.
Yeah. Chicken in every backyard is what I called it up there last week. And legislators were sort of somewhat chuckling about it. And they admit there's a lot of pushback from the League of Cities, especially that may have,
home rule argument.
Ordinances and, in place. Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else of pressing matter?
No, just appreciate the time to share the story, and hopefully we were able to do some good. And sometimes you don't know for a few months, but we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, Judge Newcomb, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chris.
And that's going to wrap things up this morning, but I do want to leave you with one more thing. Just remember that Shadon Clark, a 38-year-old woman from Marion, Kentucky, remains missing. She was last seen in the Huntington, West Virginia area. If you have any contacts over in that area, start putting some feelers out. We have got to find Shadon for some peace for her family and her friends. So if you have any information, call Crittenden County Sheriff Evan Head. That's at 270-965-3400 during normal office hours. If not, you can call 965-3500, and that is the local dispatch center. This has been Chris Evans reporting for the Crittenden Press. Have a good weekend.